Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
I want to talk about witnessing. So we've been going through a bunch of different topics, and we've been on witnessing. This is the second week talking about how to share, or the importance of sharing and sharing what Jesus has done for us on the cross and proclaiming that. And so today we're going to be focusing on a verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. But we're going to read through Romans a little bit to just understand what Romans 1:16 is talking about, even though it's pretty clear. So I'm going to start in Romans chapter 1. So in verse 1, it says, this letter is from Paul. So Paul is writing to the Romans. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about how his son in his earthly life was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell the Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And so we see here that Paul is just talking to the Romans about how God has died on the cross and been rose again so that everyone can believe in him. Everyone can receive the gift of salvation. And so we see that we stop here in verse 5. So in verses 6 all the way to, I think, verse 13, Paul is just addressing the Romans, you know, saying that, basically addressing them, saying how he is wanting to meet with them, wanting to come to the Roman church, wanting to share more about Jesus, wanting to share the news so that all people, not just Jews, but Gentiles, anyone who's not a Jew or Greeks, can know the gospel, know what Jesus Christ has come to do, know who Jesus Christ is. And so we see starting back in... one second. Yeah, verse 14. Oh, I got it right. So verse 14, we're going to pick back up after he finished his greeting the Romans, really. And so it says, this is Paul talking, for I have a great sense of obligation to people, to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I'm eager to come to you in Rome, to preach the good news. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And so here again, we see Paul is just saying again that he wishes to come to Rome. He wishes to preach the good news. He is unashamed of this good news. Why? Because it's the power of God working to bringing salvation to anyone, everyone who believes in it. First, the Jew first and to the Gentile. So I want to unpack that. Again, this is the main verse that we're focusing on. I want to unpack Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm unashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. So there's three parts of this verse that I really want to go over. It's kind of going like line by line, in this verse so that we can get a deeper understanding and meaning behind what Paul is talking about. So the first point is unashamed of the gospel, right? Paul comes, he's like, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so what does it mean to be unashamed, right? We know what it means to be shamed, right? Like you are not confident, you doubt things, you are feeling, you're just feeling shame about whatever it is, right? But unashamed means that you're not ashamed, right? You are without shame or doubt. You are confident in something, right? And so There's three aspects of being unashamed, right? Paul talks about how he's unashamed. There's three aspects of this, though, that I have picked out, I have thought about, and I feel like the Lord gave me actually when I woke up this morning. It says, unashamed to believe, right? To be confident in your belief, knowing that your confidence in Jesus, in the gospel, is not misplaced, right? You may not fully understand. Especially when you're first coming to Christ, you may not fully understand the things of God, but you know in your heart, there's this knowing in your heart that Jesus did die on the cross. There's this knowing in your heart that there's this knowing in your heart that, you know, this is something that is true, right? The law of God is written on our heart. So it's easy to just have that feeling like, okay, I believe, like, I really believe this is true. There's no way, right? So knowing in your heart that Jesus died for you. And Paul is unashamed because he also had an experience with God himself, right? Paul was Saul. If you've read this in the Bible before, I think it's in Acts. I can't remember where exactly, but he was once Saul. He was once a persecutor of Christians, persecutor of those who believe in Jesus. He used to persecute them so much, and he used to be there when they're like being put in jail or killed, murdered. He had a hand in that. And so he experienced God, and which made him completely unashamed to believe. He's like, there's nothing that I'm so confident in this. I've seen God move in my life. God literally spoke to me with his own voice. Like, what? There's nothing for him to be ashamed about, right? He knows it's true. He believes it. He's confident in it. And so I kind of want to take this like time to stop right here, actually. And if you're hearing how like Saul or Paul, it had an experience with Jesus and he knew for himself that, oh my gosh, God is real. If you have even come to Christ and you feel like you haven't had that experience, I really truly believe that God wants to meet with you. He wants to show himself to you. He wants you to see him for who he really is. So I just want to take a moment to pray for that. So if that's you, you can put it in the chat or you can just open your heart to this prayer. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for everyone, understand my voice, everyone who's in this call, who has a desire to experience you, to have relationship with you, to know you, to know that you are real. If they've been crying out, Lord, I want to see your face. God, I want to see your hand. I want to know that you're real. I want you to speak to me. God, I pray right now that you would come, that you would fulfill that desire, that you would show up, that you would speak to them, Lord, that they would know in their heart that it's you in the name of Jesus, just like Paul did. Father, I just pray that they would have that encounter with you that would so deeply ground them in you that they can be unashamed to believe that you truly are God and you truly are King. And if even if there's someone on this call who has not even called you their Lord, Father, I just pray right now that they would experience you even right now in Jesus' name. So again, Paul was confident. He was unashamed to believe. He was like, okay, this is true. I believe it. That's it, right? And then Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. We know that we can, when we believe in Jesus, we will not be put to shame. There's a difference between being shamed and being unashamed, right? So you can put your faith in Jesus and believe in him. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but you can proclaim that Jesus is Lord and people can shame you for it, right? Just because people are shaming you for it doesn't mean that you should be ashamed of the fact of what Jesus has done for you. But there's a difference between being shamed for your belief and being unashamed in that belief, right? You can be unashamed and people will shame you for it, right? But as far as you're confident in what Jesus has done for you, it sustains that faith to continue to proclaim the word of God. But again, this verse is saying that anyone who believes in him would not be put to shame. We know that when God says something that it is true, we can stand on it and that it will come to pass. And so Paul knew that God was real. He knew that he was wrong in his prior belief, right? That, you know, this Jesus is not who he says he is because he had that encounter with Jesus and he's now confident. He's like, okay, I believe. What do you want me to do with this belief, Lord? He was ready to do anything, right? But he was not put to shame. He is not put to shame. And the same way as when we put our faith in Jesus, we will not be put to shame, not in this life. Even though people might shame us, we will not be put to shame. But even, especially in the next life, because we know we have eternal life if we continue in that belief. And so the next aspect, so the first aspect is unashamed to believe. The second is unashamed to proclaim the truth, proclaim the word of God. Because if you're confident in the gospel and you know the you know that the message has power to save everyone who believes in it, including yourself, because you are saved, then you there's something in you that becomes unashamed to proclaim it. I know that in this world there's a lot of ideas and a lot of different beliefs, right? But we as Christians can be unashamed because we know that we will not be put to shame. We know that Jesus did come and die on the cross for our sins. And when we put our faith in that, we can stand firm, right? So you're unashamed to proclaim the word of God. And this is something that we're even called to do, right? God calls us to go into all the world. As in Mark 16, 15, it says, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Right. And they did this. The disciples did this. Right. The fact that the gospel was preached somewhere in Jerusalem, somewhere where, you know, in that area in Israel. And lo and behold, we all know the gospel. Right. It didn't start with us. It started there and it was spread. But there's still this need to spread the word of God, to proclaim it to all creation, because people are being born every day. And there's people who are coming to the world and growing up and not even hearing the name of Jesus. So there's still a need to go into the world and to proclaim the gospel. And that need is even more so because we know that it has power, right? If you have given your life to Jesus and you've experienced the power of God, put it in the chat, right? Put it in the chat, say, you know, he delivered me from this, right? He delivered me from shame. He delivered me from anxiety. He delivered me from depression, right? You have this experience with God and something in you has changed, right? Where you had no peace, you now have peace, right? So we being changed by the gospel, believing it and being transformed by it, now we should and can be unashamed in proclaiming it. And so that's the second thing. Again, I don't know if anybody put it in the chat, but like if God delivered you for something, proclaim it right now, right? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, okay, I see somebody has put something in the chat, but yeah, go ahead and put that in the chat. Let us rejoice with you that God has delivered you, that God has done something in your heart and your mind. And so, yeah, see, Fabrice says the power of God to change old things, right? The Bible says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we are new. We're a new creation. The old life is gone. Behold, a new life has just begun. He has taken the old things and made them new. So if you have a testimony, go ahead and put that in the chat. Maybe you guys are still typing. I don't know. But go ahead and put that in the chat while I move on to the next thing. Right. So we are unashamed to believe, unashamed to proclaim that truth, just like Paul was. Right. He's unashamed to believe. He had experience with God. He's unashamed to proclaim it because he knows it's the power, but he's also unashamed to apply it to his life, right? He's unashamed to apply it to his life. So it says, the Bible says, well, before I get there, what this is basically saying is that now you're unashamed to apply the word of God, apply the life-giving power, right? The same power that saves us is the same power that enables us to live for Christ. It's the same power that enabling grace to live a holy life. Philippians, I think it's 2:13 says, for God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him, right? So we are unashamed to apply it and stand firm on what the Bible says, right? There's sometimes if you're surrounding yourself with people in the world, like when you go to work, you meet different kind of people who believe different things. And so they might be saying, hey, I want to go out and do this. And you know that the Bible's completely against it, right? You can be unashamed to apply that to your life, to say, no, you can do that, but I'm not going to, right? You're not forcing anyone to do what you do, but you are saying, hey, I apply the word of God to my life. And the word of God says, don't do that. So I'm not doing it, right? And then also 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, verse 15, do your best to present yourself as God's to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, right there. It says, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. We are not saved by works, right? But the same grace that, the same power that transforms us is the same power that enables us to leave those old things and walk with Christ, walk worthy of the calling that God has placed on our life, right? That calling to live, to be holy as He is holy. So we need no need to be ashamed, right? Again, the same power that saves us also empowers us to live for Christ. And we can apply that word to our life because it is true. We can be unashamed to apply the truth of God's word because we know it's what saves us, right? Now that we know that the word of God, this gospel is the power for salvation. It's the power for salvation. It's also the power to set us free from walking in the way of the world, right? That we once walked. And so that brings me to the next point. So we talked about being unashamed, right? And now we're gonna move into the next point of this whole message, which is the power for salvation, right? So we can be unashamed. Again, I'm going to say this again. We can be unashamed because we know that the power that is in the word of God, the power that is in the gospel to save us, right? We can be completely unashamed of the gospel because we know that it saved us, and it can save anyone who believes in it, anyone who receives this truth by faith. The version that I use, which is NLT, it says, the power of God at work, right? Here I want to kind of focus on the fact that we have heard that we receive the gospel because we have heard it, right? So this is that witnessing part, right? We've heard it. Somebody witnessed to us. Somebody testified of how God transformed their life. Somebody told of how Jesus died on the cross and rose again and paid the penalty for our sins. And we received it, right? And we believed it, and it became... it's a power that saves us, right? But you can't have that power. You can't receive Jesus without hearing it, right? You need to hear the word of God. You need to hear the testimony. You need to hear it. If not, how do you know what you should believe in, right? So Romans 10 kind of talks about this, verse 14. Romans is just a really good book to read if you are wanting to know more about Jesus and wanting to understand what Jesus, really grasp what Jesus has done. This is a good book to read in the Bible. And so it says in 14, verse 14, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe of him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In order to put our faith in Jesus, we need to hear the gospel message, right? This verse is saying, like, somebody had to be sent, right? God, and I already addressed that. God already sent us, right, to proclaim it. Somebody has to be sent. And how can somebody hear or believe in Jesus if nobody preached it, nobody shared it, right? And so that's on us, right? Those who are unashamed of the gospel, who've received it and been transformed by it, God calls us to partner with him in sharing it with others, sharing it with those who have not heard, sharing it with those who need Jesus, sharing it with this world that is ever increasing in darkness, right? We are the light that can share this light and illuminate the world around us. And so also I want to talk about this, right? Again, we have heard the gospel. We have been transformed by it. And so it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed, the living and abiding word of God, right? It's planted in our hearts. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This word is the good news that was preached to you. This is why we can be unashamed to proclaim the word of God. We know that to believe in it, because we know that those who believe in the word of God, believe in Jesus, will not be put to shame. And so because this the word of God remained forever. It's something that is firm that we can stand on, right? And this word that was preached to us, it remains forever. So that we know that when we get to the end of our life and we persevere in believing in Jesus, we will have the crown of life that is promised to us. And so we see that it's the power of God, right? The power of God that is released through our proclamation of it and received by others, and it's saving those who believe, right? It's the power, it's God, is the God's power at work saving those who believe. So, because we all know that you can preach the gospel and somebody can reject it, right? Not every time you preach the gospel will somebody receive the gospel. So, saving those who believe, what is something we need to do? We need to believe in it. We need to receive it. We need to believe in that word. So, in order for that salvation to happen, it's not just hearing it, we need to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, but we need to choose to believe it. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, verse 1, now I would remind you, brothers of the gospel, brothers and sisters of the gospel, I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, but and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain, right? So what is Paul saying? Because Paul also wrote Corinthians, right? We've received the word of God, we've heard the gospel, we're standing in it, but we have to continue to stand, right? We are being saved. Not saying, this is not saying that the gospel is not enough to save us. No, it is saving us. It has saved us, but we have to continue to believe in it, right? You can choose after believing in Jesus to reject Jesus. Right? They have, I'm sure we've all heard being in the body of Christ, somebody who was once with God and then somehow fell away, right? They stopped believing somewhere and fell away. So this brings us to the point that continuous belief is a condition for salvation, right? It's saying saving those who believe, right? And that word, that believe in Greek is like believing it's present. So continuous belief, continuous ongoing faith in what Jesus has done, that belief in Jesus is a condition for salvation, right? So we've heard that we can be unashamed in the gospel. Why? Because of the power of salvation. And who is this gospel message for? Right? It says, yes, it says to those who believe. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Okay, let's unpack that a bit. That's the next point. Let's unpack that first to the Jew, then the Gentiles, right? So, Jesus came from the Jews, through the Jews, with a heart for the whole world, right? God had chose in the Old Testament, we see that God chose a nation to set his affections on, to set his love on. He chose Israel, right? It's not because Israel is any better than anyone else. He just picked a nation, right? He chose a nation as a special possession, and that was Israel, that was the Jews. And so he made a promise to the ancestor. He made a promise to Abraham, right? That salvation for the Jews is for the Jews and will come through the Jews, right? And so he made a promise and he kept it, right? So he came from the Jews. Jesus was born as a Jew, right? He came to the Jews first to preach the message of the kingdom of God being at hand, of the kingdom of God coming, and that has the power to save us, right? But he had always had the intention for this message to go out into the world for all to be saved, right? Romans, oh, okay, I changed this, but then I think I changed the wrong one. Oh no. Okay, so this is supposed to say Romans 15, verse 8. It says, remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to his promises he made to their ancestors. And he also came so that the Gentiles may give glory to God for his mercies to them. So we see here, right? Jesus came as a servant to the Jews, right? God chose the Jewish people. He wanted to keep his promise he made to the ancestors that salvation would come through this nation. And it did. Jesus came, he died, but he didn't just die for the Jews. He died for all people so that they may know him and come into this relationship, right? This to be saved from their sins, to have relationship with God. So see, the message really is that the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. The verse I want to share is in Romans 10. Please bear with me. I think I messed up my slides a little bit, which is fine, but it's in Romans chapter 10. Let me open it up really quick. Let me find it. One second, everyone. Okay, here we go. Okay, so Romans chapter 10, verse 11, it says, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the verse that's supposed to be here, but isn't. The gospel is for everyone, right? So he came to the Jews. Most of the Jews rejected him. Some did receive him. We see that, like Paul is one of them who received Jesus, and all the disciples. He came to them first, but he also, as we saw before, in being unashamed to proclaim the gospel, we see that he said, go into all the worlds and share the gospel with everyone. So even though the Jews came first, he came to the Jews first. He wants the gospel for everyone. And also another thing I want to point out is that the Jews and the Gentiles still have to do this very same thing to receive Christ, to have salvation. Everyone needs to believe in Jesus, confess him as their Lord, repent of their sins. And so the gospel, it truly is for everyone. In Colossians 3, it says the same thing, that there is no difference between a Jew and Gentile, barbarian or synth, or slave or free person. Christ is in all, right? So Christ is and is for all. So when we preach the gospel, there's no distinction, right? We all come to Christ, and we are all made righteous. We are all able to receive salvation. There's nothing that can stop you from receiving salvation. When you hear the gospel and you receive it, you make Jesus your Lord, you are saved. And you continue to believe, right? You continue to believe. It's the power for salvation to anyone who believes, right? And so that's the end of this message, right? The 3 points, right? Being unashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God for salvation to the Jew and the Gentile. It's for everyone. And so I want to share this gospel message with you guys. If there's anyone here, I'm just asking, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If there's anyone here who has not made Jesus their personal Lord and Savior, or you're trying to figure out if this Jesus person, the person, this God is real, and you want to learn more, this is the moment. I want to share the gospel with you, right? I want everyone to hear the gospel message, because it is the power for salvation. And I am unashamed. Us at Purpose Founder are unashamed of the gospel. That's why it's our mission to share the gospel with everyone, whoever we can. And so let's go through that gospel message right now. And so I want to start in Isaiah 53:6. It says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, right? We've all chosen sin in some way. We had a sinful nature. We have all gone astray. All of us have sinned. There's no one before God who is righteous, but the Lord God has caused our iniquity, our sin to fall on Jesus, right? He's the propitiation of our sins. He took the penalty for our sins. And so Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, right, we have all sinned again. Like just like Isaiah said, we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's also Romans 3:23. Romans is a good book to read again. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the penalty or the price for sin is death. And this death is referring to eternal separation from God in hell. Why? Because sin makes a separation between us and God. If you see it on the screen, we see the wages of sin is death. There's a separation and there's another side, right? We are separated from God because of sin. And so sin separates us from God. We're in need of a savior because we can't cross that chasm on our own, right? This is just an illustration. I'm sure the chasm between us and God would be way bigger. There's no way you can cross and no way you can jump over it. Sin just separates. And so we're in need of a savior. The good news of the gospel, this is the gospel message that God loves us so much. He wants fellowship and relationship with us, all of us, that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he paid the price and penalty for our sins on the cross that we couldn't pay that, right? We couldn't pay the penalty for our sins, especially not by any works that we can do, right? It's not by our works, but because Jesus died on the cross, we're no longer separated from God, but we get to have fellowship and relationship with God here on earth and continue that fellowship for eternity. And the Bible also says in Romans 10, we're in Romans 10 again, in Romans 10 verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus says, Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For by believing, you are made right with God. And by confessing Jesus as Lord, you are saved. And so it's not by works. It's not anything we can do that we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one should boast. So it's not by our works that we're saved, but it's because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, died in our place, took the penalty. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was humiliated. He was, people were trying to put him to shame, but he was unashamed. Why? Because he knew that he had to go through that and we would be saved through his sacrifice. So it's because of what he's done that we get eternal life when we accept him, when we believe and we receive him as our Lord, we become children of God. And so if you're on this call and you're saying to yourself, my goodness, I need to receive Jesus as my Lord. I have never done that. And I want to put my faith in this God who would die for me. I want to say a prayer for you to receive Jesus. Also, if you are rededicating your life to Jesus and you've heard about God, you've even accepted him, but you have not been living for him. And you're like, you've been living ashamed of the gospel. Well, here's your chance to renew your faith, to renew your faith in Jesus, and to rededicate your life to him. So if you want to give your life to Jesus for the very first time, if you want to rededicate, or you just love Jesus so much, you want to say this prayer again, let's say this all together. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust you and follow you. Everything that I have is yours now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.